Warning! This podcast may contain naughty language, including the C word. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody, Eugene and Shingles, episode 20, use games, both credit and anything else that pops into our brains. Did you like that?
I thought it was really quick and then slowed.
Thought I'd change it up a little bit.
Switching it up.
I'm Dave Shengler, he is Cleon Bewley, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter. The Lord has risen.
Zombie Jesus.
Happy, zombie Jesus.
Happy Zombie Jesus Day.
Happy Zombie Jesus Day. He is alive, well, and scared a hell of a lot of his mates today.
Jesus rose today so we could eat chocolate.
Yes.
I think that's...
No, don't worry, Dave. I've got facts about Easter already. All ready for the show.
Oh,
we're all ready to go for facts about Easter. I just thought, imagine your mate dying on the Monday, on the Friday, sorry, and then on the Sunday, he's knocking on your front door.
And going,
hey, told you that shit would work.
Had your pants down.
Wouldn't work in modern day. You'd just shut the door.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be like, hey, what's going on here?
Just go, zombie Jesus.
Zombie Jesus.
Facts about Easter. I'm sure, Dave, you are primed and ready to go about the facts about Easter.
I am. You're not, though, are you?
No, because I've got no idea where I've put my bloody book.
I think it's under your coat.
Clingers, rookie mistake.
That's a big book.
It's my Colleen's 2024 diary.
Oh, yeah. So it is.
And if you look, on Friday, I have already wrote in there, Jesus has a bad day.
Oh, it wasn't the best of times.
It wasn't.
For Jesus.
It wasn't.
Was it not?
It was not. Anyway.
Facts about Easter.
Easter, let's get into the facts. Did you know, Dave, the Easter Bunny began in Germany?
Yes.
Did you? Did you know he was German?
I did know that, yeah.
He should be called the Easter Bunny.
The Easter Bunny.
Yes. To deliver the eggs.
Okay.
The holiday was named after Anglo-Saxon goddess Ystor.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
No.
See? Ystor.
Okay.
Did you know in a 365-day year, because there isn't any other kind, 1.5 million... Well, there is, yeah.
There is.
Right,
we're in one this year.
Yeah. 1.5 million cream eggs are produced every day.
Okay. Then why the fuck do they only sell them for 2 weeks in April?
Right, we've all got problems with that. The whole of England has got problems with. Why do we only get cream eggs around Easter? Can't we not just have these all year round instead of getting them from Mohammed's shop on the corner?
Mohammed's always got them. Yeah.
Always got them in Moaz. The act of painting eggs comes from the Ukraine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
No.
Do you know the background to that?
There was a woman in the Ukraine who said, you fancy painting this egg?
Oh, sound.
And a kid went, that's a good idea.
So,
and it caught on like wildfire, Dave. The world's largest Easter egg weighs in...
Paint the egg.
Yes, paint the egg before the Russians get here. The world's largest Easter egg weighs in at 5,000 pounds.
That's a big egg.
That's a big egg. You'd still be eating that right now.
How, that's like 10 big shows.
Yeah. You could...
10 big shows in the mid-2000s.
In the mid-2000s.
Not so much these days.
Not so much these days.
He's trim. He's got a six-pack today.
Did you know that pretzels, they used to be an Easter thing?
No.
Yeah, pretzels used to be very much Eastery.
I presume you mean your big baked pretzels and not your farty little crunchy ones.
Not your little boring ones you get in Twiglet bags and all that. Yeah. No, the actual proper thing.
I do like a pretzel.
The first UK chocolate egg was produced in Bristol Town in 1873.
Okay.
He'd just got back from the Ukraine. In Germany, do you know, it's illegal to dance on Good Friday.
That can't be true.
That's true. You're going to have a look.
No.
You're going to have a look. You can fill it. I've got facts to spare.
Wow.
And Easter is, into dovetail, Easter is celebrated following a full moon that follows the date on the 21st. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that explains why it's like...
Always on the Sunday after the full moon.
Yeah, different every year.
Yeah.
It's early this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, very early.
Yeah. What was the most expensive Easter egg?
The most expensive Easter
the
egg?
The most expensive Easter egg.
Is it some kind of Fabergé
shit? It certainly is.
Yeah. Go on.
The most expensive Easter egg was sold in 2007 for £9 million.
Ooh.
And it is the world's most expensive Easter egg. It was sold at Christie's in London, £9 million, breaking all Fabergé records. It's an enamelled egg, coloured a multicoloured cockerel, which at every hour pops out the egg, flaps his wings, nods his head three times, jumps back in the egg. The egg was made by Carl Fabergé in St. Petersburg in 1902, and it's the second largest egg ever made by Fabergé.
Wow.
And I've always wanted a Fabergé egg.
Yeah, people find them, don't they, in like fucking like carpet sales and shit.
Oh, sorry.
Like, you see, there's like stories in there where people have been like just like digging in car boot sales or like little second-hand shops, and they found like they found a Fabergé egg, but what? But they didn't realise that's what they found. They're just like, oh, that's nice. I'll put that on fireplace.
I'll put that, and then I'll put that as a doorstop for 3 years.
And, your best mate Sheila comes round and goes, "You might want to get that looked at. Get that. Do you want to get that on Deal or No Deal?" Like, not Deal or No Deal, wrong one, bargain on.
No, let's stick with Deal or No Deal.
No Edmonds, just...
No, Deal or No Deal's Dicko, innit?
No, that's Dickinson's Real Deal. That's what I meant to say.
Dickinson's Real Deal.
Deal or No Deal's one with the red boxes.
Do you know what? I love that programme.
Dickinson's Real Deal.
Oh, mate, I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love how every now and again he pops his head in and goes, I think we can offer her a bit more money than where we are now.
I'd be leaving that money on the table.
And you can see the guys who are bidding going, yeah, cheers for that now.
Of course.
I saw him once in his yellow Ferrari.
Oh, wow.
Oh, bright yellow.
Massive.
When I say bright yellow.
Bright yellow Ferrari, bright orange skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw him and I went, oh, that's him and he's in the... Oh, I got figures.
Do you know him? I'm not a car guy, so I don't know the name of the car, but you know the really posh McLarens?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the
M1 McLarens.
They look like proper fucking, like, dog's bollock sports cars. Like, do you know the BMW that looks like that?
Mm-hmm.
I saw somebody driving around one of them on Festival Park, like, yesterday, and I was a bit like, it's a bit overkill for Festival Park, that is, mate.
Someone just, was round in the Lamborghini.
You just need a little runaround for Festival Park.
Someone was... Where did we see a Lambo?
Leave the Beamer at home.
There's a brand new Lambo going around Fezzy Park the other week, and I just thought to myself, God, your skirts must be... You must be, every time you go over a speed bump, you must be like... You must be just praying to God, going, oh, my God, please don't. That's 50K.
You know that noise that Thanos makes in the meme where he has his balls squeezed? That's the noise the guy makes when he's driving over the speed bump.
But that is all your Easter reflections.
When you were at school, did you do the Easter egg painting thing?
No, mate. I went to Roman Catholic school. I did full-on...
You just prayed.
Mass. We did mass followed by mass followed by double mass.
Oh, okay.
We even did the story of Jeezy once. And we went up Sneed Hill.
Okay.
Came back onto school.
Did they still put the crosses up?
Yeah.
Sneed Hill.
I don't know, actually.
Because they used to put three crosses up there, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They put one on top of Sneed Hill and three on the top of Fosser Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we as a school went to follow this dramatic play, moving play, of this geezer carrying the cross up the hill while priest giving it away with the frankincense and all of that and blessing of the whole thing. It was lovely. But I'm hoping that they still do the cross on the hill. And
yeah, I haven't been up that way for a while, so I'm not seeing it.
They probably don't know. It probably offends somebody. Probably offends somebody.
Yeah,
probably
we did
a transgender penguin somewhere.
We did the egg painting thing. I never remember doing like Easter bonnets a thing in primary schools.
I never remember doing that.
I don't remember that. I do remember the egg painting though. So you'd boil your eggs because you used real eggs back then. Now people buy like fucking plastic ones from shop, don't they? Yeah. You boiled your eggs, let them go cold, and then you painted your eggs and. I can't remember. We did loads of stuff like every year. Me and my brother as well. Like, he did stuff, and I never won. Never won until my very last year, where a ship in a bottle.
Yeah,
I did an egg in a bottle. So I got the egg and I put like matchsticks on it and like a little bit of fabric for sails. Like string and whatnot, so like it had sails and everything. I didn't paint the egg. I just left the egg as it was, just put everything on the outside of it. And I got wooden clothes pegs.
Yeah.
And took them apart, glued them together, varnished them, put the egg on top of that so it was like a little mount. And then I didn't get in the egg in the bottle without cutting the bottle. Like it's not like a glass ship in a bottle. I ain't blowing that shit in there. Like.
I thought you were going to go full on. I was going to say, did you get the sails with the string after you've blown it up and put the ship in the bottle?
I just cut the side of the bottle and then like lifted it in and then made it kind of disguised it a bit where I'd cut the hole.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was in my last year of primary school and I came third.
The teacher went, finally effort. Finally.
He's put
a bit of thought into this.
I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember a book, right? Because it was a little bit before my time. Only a little bit. Because you're the same age as my brother, aren't you? So
yeah.
Yeah. So, because Steve had it. A book called The Yoke Folk.
No.
And it was about a, it was eggs. Out of, in an egg box, but they were real, they were alive, and they had like a king and everybody had a different character and they all lived in egg boxes. This book called The Yoke Folk, and my brother did the king from The Yoke Folk one year. It was fucking ace.
The Yoke Folk. I've got to check this out, because a lot of the time when you're saying it, you know, you don't actually remember, but then when you see the images you go, oh my god. No, Dave, that's well before me. That's early 70s, buddy.
Because I know, yeah, we definitely had the book.
That's early 70s, though.
But, yeah, unless it might have just been passed down, like, to me, brother, I don't know. But, yeah, The Yoke Folk. Yeah, he did the king. Because on the back cover, you had all the characters. And he did the king one year. That was pretty cool. An exclamation mark. That was the winner the year that I came third.
Oh, my God, what a line in a broken egg at the bottom.
Do you know, it was an egg. When they painted it black and put googly eyes on it.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of wire that they stabbed in the top with a black piece of cardboard sticking out the top, so it like an exclamation mark. And they just called it an exclamation mark.
I would have threw the bottle at him, mate. I would have done.
That one came first.
I would have gone, all that. Have you seen me bottle?
It was nice, but he definitely didn't make it. His mum did.
Yeah.
You know?
That stuck with you, that has, hasn't it, Dave?
Little bit, yeah. Yeah. with my kids.
You still
kids.
Think of that exclamation every Easter. Every time Easter comes, you
every
go,
time I see
what was, can you remember the name of the kid?
No, I can't.
I bet you can.
Every time I see an exclamation mark and all that, I'm like, fucking Jesus.
Fuck you, Easter.
I know my kids, they've done like the Easter bonnets and stuff at primary school. And then when they get a little bit older, they go on to like decorating the eggs. And my son one year did it all himself. He goes, I know what I want to do. And he got all his stuff and he got his eggs and he got his paint and his box and everything. He made egg stream wrestling.
Yes.
Egg stream wrestling. He made a ring, right? Cardboard box, made a ring. Lollipop sticks in the corners with string around for the ropes. And then two eggs, painted them like wrestlers in the ring. Like, it was fucking brilliant. Extreme wrestling. It was ace. Speaking of wrestling, it's Mania next week.
Cody finishes his journey.
Did you see...
Did I see Raw and SmackDown on the one week I've not watched Raw and SmackDown?
No, I haven't watched it.
I was going to say...
You know what I mean? I don't get it, do I? So I don't watch it.
The one week I've not watched it and he's just about asking me about
it. Do you know what is... I know you can go on YouTube and watch the highlights and stuff like that, but yeah. What's really good is the on the network, This Week in WWE... It's like half an hour, and it sums up 7 hours worth of wrestling programs in half an hour. It's brilliant. Did you see The Rock drop an F-bomb at the end of Raw?
He
got beeped.
Here's a question, actually, because I've watched a lot of WWE just at you. Is it now the time that everyone's just decided, over the last 2 weeks, swearing's ramped up?
I think...
So are they moving at the end of next week or something?
I think what's happened is with The Rock being back and with him being from the Attitude Era, and it's kind of got that Attitude Era vibe to it. That's what The Rock's bringing back to it. And I think he's just going off script a bit because he's on the board. You know, he's a director and he's like, yeah, I'm going to do this because the people all love it. Apparently nobody else is allowed to do it. It's only The Rock that can break that PG-13 barrier. But yeah, he drops the F-bomb at the end of Raw, and he got beeped, but some mobile phone footage has been uploaded, somebody in the crowd, and the videoing like what would have been the Titantron back in the day, so the videoing the big screens, and it's showing what's going on outside, and then bang, you hear him drop the F-bomb, and the whole crowd's like, like, you know, that's not PG. I remember Vince doing it once years ago. I think he did it. Was it to John Cena? He told him fuck off. He was like, you fucking fuck. And the whole crowd's like, oh, that's not PG. but yeah, the F-bomb got dropped. So we've got the go-home shows this week now. Raw, SmackDown. I'm going to have to try and make an effort to actually watch them.
You've got the really good.
The problem I've got is this is the week where I'm living in London.
Yeah.
And
are you ready to go?
No, I've got shit loads to do.
For God's sake, Dave.
Like, get the fuck out of my house. I've got loads to do. No, I'm nearly there. So last night I haven't set the guitar up. It's here next to me.
You've got to tune it and everything.
It's getting used to room temperature again. I haven't set a guitar up for about 7 years. I've restrung it because when I was recording with Trevor, I could put fresh strings on it, but I didn't give it a proper setup because I was just using computer
wizardry. It's everything loose now on it. And
computer wizardry to get rid of all the crap. Give it a proper setup last night. Undid it all, got the electronics out, cleaned all the pots and everything, put it all back together. Mm-hmm. You know, I've oiled up the neck. It's gorgeous. Restrung it, adjusted the truss rod. I'm letting it sit at room temperature for a bit. I played it in for a couple of hours last night. I'll play it in again today. I used to do that, not a full setup like that, but I used to do like a half setup every month when I was playing. Every month without fail, I would restring, oil the neck, clean the pots out, and check the action and everything.
It's the same as cleaning your footy boots, really.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's so many people that just don't. They don't clean the guitars. They don't restring the guitars. They play with dead strings. Bass players are the fucking worst. Like, I'll say that. I'll put on a record. Bass players, you're the worst. Change your fucking strings. Change them. Just once.
You've got the easiest instruments.
Do you know what people do? They take the strings off, right? Boil them.
Fucking hate mail coming.
People, bass players are known to take the strings off and boil them and then put them back on because it makes them brings a bit of tone back to the strings. Makes them fucking brittle as well.
It makes them brittle, doesn't
just,
bring
just
tone
fucking back. Change your strings, guys. But yeah, every month I do it on my guitar. I knew bands that did it every gig. I've watched a band once, Soundcheck. Just before Soundcheck at the Underground, they were sat on the pavement outside restringing the guitars.
Why?
And it's like, that's a little bit too soon if you ask me.
Why? That's madness.
What I always like to do was, because strings, they'll keep stretching until you've properly played them in. So I'd restring, stretch them, tune up again, and then I'd play them for an hour in the house. But I'd always do it the rehearsal before a gig. And then I'd do 3 hours in a rehearsal room to play the strings in. And then they're ready to go for the gig. That was just my routine. So obviously I don't do the rehearsal now. But I'm going to be playing all next week leading up to the performance. So it'll be fine. But I've had to buy shit for it. Because when I stopped playing and quit bands, I sold up like a load of my stuff. Didn't sell me amp. And I did keep a couple of things. But I sold like all my pedals and loads of shit. So I'm borrowing an amp from the university, and I'm like, oh, I'm probably going to need some like pedals, some effects. Shit, I ain't got any anymore. So I've had to go and buy pedals. I've had to buy patch cables. I don't really fancy it. I've got my tuner pedal somewhere. So my tuner pedal's like the same size as that, it's a stomp box. But I don't fancy taking that down with me just to tune.
Tune a thing at the top.
Yeah, just to tune my guitar. And then I've got my other tuner, which is like, it's about the size of my phone, like that. But it's like, you know, it's unplugging and plugging it into that tuner. So yeah, I did buy a little Boss TU.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
TU-02.
Stick it at the top.
Yeah. These boss ones are really good. You can get some like dodgy ones that are horseshit, but the but this is this one.
The batteries just die on them dead quick. It's like a 30. I'm pretty sure that's a 30 minute battery.
The boss ones. I think this might be the cheapest boss one, but it's really good and it does what you need it to do.
Like I said, it's just the battery. Yeah. You'll just remember to turn it off moment you're in tune. Otherwise, you'll just go to it and it'll be battery.
Do you know, my acoustic, it's an electroacoustic, it's got a built-in tuner, which is... I've had it for 25 years, like, but...
How does that work?
It's so, basically, there's where your battery goes for your pickup and whatnot, and the top of the guitar, there's a tuner in that. So you just push the button, and when you pluck your string, the pickup obviously picks it up. That feeds into the tuner that's in the body of the guitar, and you just got little lights. And when you're in tune, the light goes red. Sam?
Oh, I thought it had gone the next level of that. You string your things, it tells the auto tuner and it tightens your things for
Gibson
you.
Did that for a few years. It was stock on all of their guitars for a couple of years. So in your headstock at the back here, there was an automatic tuner. And all you did, you just bring straight down all six strings and the tuner would go, oh yeah, and just tune your guitar for you.
Why did they stop that?
Because it's horseshit, Cleon, that's why.
Oh, okay.
It's vile, because you can only tune in standard tuning. You know what I mean? I use drop C. It's like, fucking, that's not standard. They were crap. People were literally, like, ripping them off. They were just taking the whole thing off and putting fresh machine heads in and just like, this is shit, out with that. Gibson lost a lot of fucking...
It's a good idea. It's a great idea. In the actual, it's stupid.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So I'm down like London next week. So the days, they're like 12-hour days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I need to fit in like loads of stuff as well. So WrestleMania's at the weekend. Now, you've got WrestleMania weekend. I presume there's an NXT show. I haven't actually looked. And then you've got Hall of Fame. But I'm in, like, lessons every fucking day, including the Sunday as well. So WrestleMania's on the Saturday night, but we've got a performance on the Saturday night. And then there's, like, this big sharing meal as well, and apparently the wine's free-flowing. But it's like, I really want to get back to the fucking hotel so I can watch WrestleMania.
All you need to do is, if the wine's free-flowing... All you need to do is go there, eat, and just sit for an hour. And then just leave. No one will know whether or not you're there or you're not.
Right.
No, because it's what, when there's free wine and stuff like that, you literally only need to be there for an hour and a half.
It does sound like fun, I must admit. But yeah, so you've got WrestleMania, but the Grand Prix is on as well. I think it's not Australia. It's Japan or something like that. So that's like... When WrestleMania finishes, the Grand Prix starts. And at this point, I'm like, well, I'm awake. Let's see if I can fucking do this.
Not me. I'll be watching WrestleMania and getting back in bed.
No, you can't. You've got to come pick me up from London.
Why have I got to pick you up from London?
Train strikes.
When?
No, I'm joking. No, but there is actually train strikes.
Is it? When's that? Next Tuesday? So Sunday?
I go on Tuesday and I come back on Sunday. And there's train strikes... Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
There you go.
Fucking dodged a bullet there.
There you go.
I tell you.
Nearly dodged a train.
Mate, can you imagine that? Like, you fucking, I've booked my ticket and then all of a sudden they go, you know what, we're striking Sunday as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
Speaking of trains, did you watch Bullet Train?
I didn't watch Bullet Train. No. I haven't had much time to do anything. I've been on a 6-day week, which is fine. But it's with the missus injuring a hand, as you're aware of a couple of weeks ago, it's kind of like she's null and void. Like she can't fucking do anything. It's the dominant hand that's fucked up. So I'm like, I'm having to, what are you chuckling about?
It's the jokes that are running through me. You know what I'm chuckling at. Loosen a grip, dude.
I'm kind of, It's not a shake away. Jesus. Fucking hell. Spit on it, will you? So I've been doing, like, I've been taking, like, her share of the home workload on as well. So, yeah. Like, going work, coming home, doing everything else, and then having to prepare for next week, as well. And then I totally forgot that I'd had a commission for some CD duplication. So I was like, fuck, I need to get that done as well. So I was doing that. That's all done and dusted. You know, that's sorted. It's all off in the post. And yeah, so I just haven't had a chance to do fucking anything, to watch anything. Nothing at all. Like, I'm behind on everything I said I was going to do.
Well, I know how you feel. And I feel exactly the same way too, because all week my children have been up at Regent Theatre.
Yeah, they've been in the, is it the Angela Beardmore?
Kill the Lights.
Yeah, because I know...
she doesn't pay, so don't mention.
No,
she doesn't pay for sponsorship, so let's not drop name droppies in.
There's a girl who I used to go high school with, Lindsay, and she went to the school of dance that we're not going to mention ever again.
Yeah.
And she still performs in these events. Like, you know, when they have, like, the... I'm going to say the term oldens, because you it's like you're used to kids going there, aren't you?
Yeah.
But, like, past alumni of the dance school, and they go and do these
shows.
There
is a section
well.
Where the old birds have a dance.
Yeah. Yeah, so she
in the show, which is lovely.
Yeah, she still takes part in them. So, like, yeah. But all week I've been on social media, and I think, like, everybody who I know's kids go to that dance school, and then you've got Lindsay as well, like a grown up who went to the dance school, and
I'm
it's like scrolling up, going, "Fucking Jesus!" loads of people.
I'm not joking. You, how the kids have got the energy for that is beyond me. So they were in. So they started rehearsals Tuesday.
Mm.
So they were there all day Tuesday. So from 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Tuesday, from 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 9 o'clock at night. Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, showtime. So from 4 o'clock in the evening till 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Same on Saturday, but on Friday. And then on Saturday, they had a matinee. So they left the house yesterday, I think at 11 o'clock,
yeah.
And got home at 11 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
And did two shows during the day. Yeah, it's a big load of work for the guys to get through, but it was a really good show. It was a great production.
It shows you how popular it is as well, because, like, the Regent's a fucking 1600 seater.
They only have the bottom open.
I know, but it's still a big theatre, though, isn't it? Like, you would with because I, you know, we sell tickets for the shows that go on at the Mitchell Arts Centre, which is like a 300 seater
and something. Yeah. We'd sell at Mitchell Arts.
There's loads of dance schools that use the Mac for their performances. And, you know, in some of them, though, it's like you should consider getting a bigger venue, because they put the shows on over a number of nights to give everybody a chance to watch. But as soon as they go on sale, it's absolutely manic, like people phoning up, and it's like, yeah, we need tickets. And they just bang, they sell out like that. And then a week later, you'll get somebody phoning up going, I need to buy tickets for such and such dance performance. And you go, I'm so sorry, it's sold out. What do you mean it's sold out? They only went on sale last week. Yeah, that's how fast they sell out. Yeah. It's crazy. So, like, is it just the Angela Beardmore School?
Yeah. It's just.
It's not like a number of.
No,
schools.
No. It's just Angela. It's just Angela Beardmore production. That's at the Regent, or that has been at the Regent Theatre to do Kill the Lights. And all the so leading up to it for the past 6 months, the kids have been learning their own individual indicative dances that they're going to be doing. And then, obviously, once it gets to the theatre, they see then how the team have put it together into numbers. Really, 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 really good. The only thing that spoils it for everybody is the overbearing parents.
Yeah.
And what I mean overbearing parents is, oh, we've got changing rooms. You are not allowed to have women in the changing rooms. Well, I'm going in the changing rooms because my Max needs help changing. Well, I'm off then. Why? Because what's the point of me being here as a chaperone?
Yeah.
If you're just going to do whatever the flip you want anyway,
yeah.
I can go chill at home and play on my guitar.
Yeah.
And that's the only the biggest problem I'm seeing a lot in England at this moment in time is people try and edge forward too quick. Does that make sense?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you because, I don't go down to the Mac for these performances. I'm not nothing to do with the backstage, but obviously being on the sales line for the tickets, you get to know the parents that, and you can tell like it's like, Doc, you need to calm down. Like your kid's going to be fine. Go sit in the crowd
and clap.
Get yourself a drink and some crisps. Get some crisps and just enjoy the fucking show. Your kid's going to be fine. There are people back there to look after the children. It's what they do. Yeah. Just go and enjoy the performance. Stop being that overbearing parent.
The one thing I said to them, I said, you're just causing chaos. Hmm? How am I causing chaos? I said, okay, let me put it into a football environment. Would you come into the change? Can you imagine each mum coming in the changing room?
Yeah, with a kid, yeah.
Getting each child changed, and while each mum's getting each child changed, everybody else has to stop and wait.
It's fucking mental.
I've said, and then you're getting a bollocking because people are late to the stage. But they don't like, shut up.
Yeah.
Because they think that for some reason you need to listen.
Do you know, when
I don't understand it.
When my kids were...
It's too overbearing.
When my kids were smaller and they were going to be facing something where they've got to do something on their own and I'm not going to be there. For example, I don't know, something off the top of my head. Maybe the first time they go swimming with school.
Yeah.
And you need to make sure that they can get the swimming, like little, and get a swimming costume on by yourself. Mm. Right. All I would do is, right, so in a couple of weeks' time, you're going to be going swimming with school. You need to make sure you can get yourself out of your uniform, into your costume, then out your costume and back into your uniform and dry yourself. So we're going to practice. Let's do this. And that's what we did. Like,
yeah, I've got young, you've got 10-year-old lads nowadays who don't even know how to get dressed themselves because they're waiting for mum go, now put your socks on.
Yeah.
Now put your pants on. Now put your trousers on. Now put your top on. Now put your T-shirt on. Now do your thing. And you can see, I'll tell you now, if we go to war in the UK in the next 20 years, matey, we've lost. Like, us in America, we're getting set up by the Russians, I'm pretty sure of it. In 20 years, the Russians are going to go, we'll take that and we'll take that. And they're just going to go, okay.
Yeah.
Just don't shout.
Yeah, don't shout, it offends
me. Don't shout because it offends my ears.
Not too loud.
And there'll be us in an old age pensioner being brought up to service. Right, you got... Dad's army time. What have we got to do? Protect England? No, you're the ones going to war. We've got the kids doing this.
Send all the millennials. They're already broken. War's not going to do anything to them.
Get me the transgenders. They want to join the army so much. Get on front line, lads. Anyway, speaking as we've gone down the route for Russia and everything else, I am officially pleased to announce, or I am over the moon to announce that Donald Trump is officially the nominee for the Republican Party with 1,686 delegates. His nearest competitor, Dave, had 94. He had 1,686 delegates. His nearest competitor had 94, and that was Nikki Haley.
What is going on across there?
Do they not have memory?
Is it
like the mad? How bad of a job has Papa done that Donald Trump is actually getting back in power now?
It's baffling to me. I'm not like...
I love it. It's chaos.
Well, do you know what? I was talking the other day about... this was at work, and I saw this headline about something Rishi Sunak had said or done or something. And I just went, I said to my manager, I was like, you know what? At least when Boris Johnson and Donald Trump were both in power, I knew who the leaders of the countries were.
Yeah.
Because I always forget that Rishi Sunak's the Prime Minister. I forget. And I'm like, you read it and go, oh shit, yeah, he's the Prime Minister, isn't he?
No one voted for him.
And then it's like Sleepy Joe is just like I've heard nothing of him. Like, you know, when Trump was in power, that's all you fucking heard on the news. Trump this, Trump that, Trump that. Sleepy Joe. I'm like, what? Where is he? What's he doing? He's still trying to find his way, like...
Take 10 minutes and do his last couple of news conferences.
He's still trying to find his way off the podium and backstage.
Like, he can't talk.
He's fucked.
He can't talk. He forgets fucked. What he's saying mid-sentence.
So are we both having an election this year? Because yeah. The UK is having one, aren't we?
Yeah, us in America.
Oh, fuck me.
Can we get Boris back in?
No.
Yeah, at least he was fun.
Fumbling, bumbling idiot.
At least he was funny.
I've already said this a million times. I have no answers for this fucking country. I've got no idea.
No, neither do I. And let's not go down that route on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, fuck the Tories and all that. But
what did you put about fuck the Tories?
Where's the fucking opposition?
What did you put about fuck the Tories on?
It was the NHS thing.
Because I nearly went full balls in going, middle management, Dave, we've had this conversation.
Yeah, fuck them.
We could give the NHS £800 billion a year.
Wish we could.
No, we could. And they'd still cock up the NHS.
It's...
All we've done is throw money at a bunch of nurses and stuff for too long.
Like I was saying though, I don't know what there's, because the opposition's no better. What do we do in this situation? I've got no fucking idea.
I've outlined it in a previous podcast. Let's make everything. Let's privatise the damn thing and give everyone different service levels. And if you want a better service level, you can pay for a bigger service level. But don't put it so it's out of reach of common person. Or don't make the gap.
Well, like, it needs to be...
Like, do you get what I mean? If you're on platinum level NHS,
yeah.
Like me, I'd need platinum level because I'm always breaking stuff. I basically sneeze and I slip a disc. I did 45 minutes this morning. I couldn't do 90. My legs just went, no.
I think it always... no matter what happens to the NHS, it always needs to be free at the point of service.
Yeah, so at the point of service.
Going to your doctors needs to be free
all the time.
Going to accident and emergency needs to be free.
Yeah.
Like, you can't charge for shit. You can't go to the doctors and then the doctor pulls his card machine out.
Single person that's not English that comes into this country, it is a point of charge.
Yes, I mean, there's an argument for it. There's definitely an argument for it.
It's a fact. If you go over to France now, when I get in France or anywhere in Europe, when you land, you get charged €20. Hiya, welcome. We're charging you £20 because you're coming into France.
Yeah.
Why don't we do the same? We get millions of people coming into this country every single day. £20. Pop.
Bing.
Council tax.
Fucking tenner, do it.
6 million people a day. £10.
That's what I was going to say. But me drummer, he went private for one of his kids with doctor once because the waiting list was just ridiculous. So he was like, you know what, fuck it, we're going to go private. And this was just the consultation. And he was like, I've never experienced anything like it. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, well, we went into the doctor's room and sat down. And the doctor went, right, okay. And he literally pulled his card machine out and put it on the desk and went.
Yeah.
And he Trev beeped his card and then he put it back and went, right, how can I help?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, hang on a minute. How do I know you can answer the question? Like, I pay for this after you've answered the question, motherfucker.
And then you'll just sit there and go, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, like, what he said was really funny was, like, he'd paid for the service and then he explained what was going on and the doctor went, okay, bear with me. And he pulled a book off and just started reading. It's like, you're Googling the symptoms. Like, is this what you're doing?
This is a very expensive service.
Yeah, this is a very expensive search engine, doctor. What are you playing at here? But no, I mean, the thing is, though, he got what the information that he needed that he could then take back to the NHS and bang, poof, up the list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It worked. But, I am not against...
There's two different approaches, like with cancer on the NHS. The chemo on cancer on the NHS isn't towards that specific one that you have. It's... an overall.
Right, okay.
So when you're going private, for things like that, yes, you should at all times. And for things for other things, I think the NHS is brilliant for things like breaking your fingers, having a car crash.
Yeah.
You can have a car crash, you can be Sparko with a thing through your shoulder, and you'll wake up in an hospital bed, all fully fixed up, fully plastered out. I think that is amazing.
Yeah.
Babies. You can call them in the night. Babies, you can call them in the night. You've got cheetahs and everything else.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing. I think for the disease and that type of stuff, I think that needs to sit outside the NHS.
I suppose the argument with that is, though, like, if it's, let's say it's not your fault. It's not your fault you've had a car crash and you need some fucking help, right? So we'll fix that. It's also not your fault if you get cancer.
No.
So
I'm all I've done forever, as you know, I work in technology. So forever I've had more conversations with the NHS about what needs to be fixed, what doesn't need to be fixed, what can be fixed and everything else. Now, Dougie Mac raises how many billions of pounds per year?
I don't know.
Take care of it.
Yeah.
Per year, billions of pounds.
It's, I mean, it's...
We'll build you the buildings.
Yeah.
You just do that.
Yeah, Dougie Mac's a big one as well, isn't he? Because a lot of people, like, you know, who are you donating to? Dougie Mac.
Yeah.
It's just a common, well-known, like, charity. And the fucking, like... deserve it as well, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, the help and the aid that they offer to families is amazing. I want to say that I'm not against some kind of privatisation of not maybe not privatise it. I don't know, some kind of charge for medical service, but I think you've got to approach it very kind of carefully.
I think that's another problem.
Yeah.
We keep approaching everything carefully. At this present moment in time, our male population's going down quicker than a hooker's knickers. because basically, they've gone, well, hang on a minute. We're getting told a bunch of stuff about women. We might as well become women. And that's you know, the dodging really? Around subjects, et cetera, et cetera. We've got declining in all areas. Look at the sewage around the country.
Yeah.
It's pretty much poo time.
Yeah.
You'd be paddling out. You've got a jobby floating past you now.
No wee jobby.
Not a wee jobby neither. They're just letting this stuff out direct into the sea. It's got nothing to do with seven.
Isn't this the fucking 1800s again?
Is this like, what?
Are people shitting in the street?
What's this now? It's a nappy. What's this doing off in Weymouth? You know, and it's... Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the UK that needs addressing that we've put in the ocean for far too that we've put into the ground for far too long.
Fuck it, I'm moving to Canada.
Idea?
Not the French speaking part.
Not the French speaking part. No. Is there a non-French speaking part of Canada?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah, I think Vancouver's the French speaking side, isn't it? Toronto's the English speaking side. There's definitely an English half. Of Canada.
I don't know if it's kind of
Winnipeg. That's
I might as well go. But New Zealand,
tiny New Zealand, isn't it?
I'm like gonna go New Zealand.
Population's fuck all.
Knock on Mark's door, old Zuckerberg.
Yeah,
and say, can I come and chill in your bunker?
Okay.
Apparently, he's built a bunker.
Yeah,
just big enough for him and P. Diddy. But anyway. Football was on yesterday. We'll do a feature episode about P. Diddy soon, mate. Because I've been writing and we're still not there yet.
I googled it yesterday because I'm like, what is going on?
It's everywhere in America is right now, isn't it?
And I'm just like, I've read it all and I'm still like, I don't know what's happening. What's happening to everybody that I like? Why are they all weird?
They're all sexual deviants, Dave.
Why? Why does having a lot of money make you want to finger kids? I don't get it.
P. Diddy really is a bad boy. For life.
Bad boys for life.
Yeah, it's true. And apparently Will Smith's part of that posse as well.
Oh,
please don't let Will Smith be part of that.
I mean, I kind of lost a bit of respect for Will Smith when he slapped Chris Rock, so...
I know, but not all respect.
Not all respect, no.
You know.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. He's still got 7 pounds of flesh. That was still banging. But anyway... Saturday, football came back. Whoop, whoop. After the boring time that was the English break for international duty.
I nearly messaged you yesterday. Before you go into it, I nearly messaged you, right?
Yeah.
Because I saw the score.
Yeah.
When before the end of the match.
Before it went a bit nuts.
Yeah. And I was like, I was going to message you going, dude. And then I was the other side of the counter at work. And my manager goes, bloody hell. And he said the score. And I was like, are you having a laugh? Because I've just looked at that.
Yeah.
And he went, no. And I went round and looked. I was like, that is ridiculous. And then I was going to message you. And I was like, oh, shit, I think he's at the Regent.
Yeah, no, I was when all this was going on.
I don't know if he's watched it or he's seen it yet. So I was like, I won't message you.
I was sitting at the Regent with a load of blokes around me who've all been toyed into the idea that the show's only an hour long, 3.5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
3.5 hours, Dave. And every now and again, the phones were doing this. Fucking hell. It's 3-1 to West Ham now. Okay, it's 3-2. It's 3-3. Newcastle are winning, bloody hell. But anyway, our first game of the day yesterday was my beloved Newcastle United as they took on West Ham at St. James's Park. Newcastle went 3-1 down during the game. Antonio, Kudus and Bowen, and pulled it back and won 4-3 with goals from fucking Isaac. Mental. Two penalties in exactly the same place. He's got steel in his bones. And two goals from Harvey Barnes, who I was really happy for because he's been injured. Not injured, injured, not injured. And every time he comes on the pitch, he seems to score a worldie and then gets injured for a couple of games. And Anthony Gordon also got sent off in that match for kicking the ball away.
That was the thing. I was like, because we were looking at it and we had it on BBC and we couldn't work out, because the way that the BBC like line up the names where people have scored and whatnot, it's like, hang on a minute, did he score? Is that a sending off? Whereas like Google put everything underneath, yeah, so you can see chronologically what's going on. And it was like, fuck. So they were 3-1, 3-2, and then that happened. And then, you know, a 90-minute goal,
yeah,
to go 4-3. And then it's like, and then somebody got sent off 4 minutes later. And I was like, yeah, what is going on?
It was just St. James's Park. It got really noisy, it got really rowdy, and every one of the players, after it went 4-3, got really overexcited.
I mean, that's like, because you're both, Newcastle and West Ham are like right next to each other, aren't they, in the league?
Yeah.
So that's like,
see it.
Yeah, we've got fucking nothing to gain, nothing to lose. We're fucking just going to battle this out for pride.
Yeah. And it was just basically a slugfest. It was a slugfest. But anyway, Bournemouth 2, Everton 1. Great result for Bournemouth. Hopefully can relegate the Scouse Mackhams. Chelsea 2, Burnley 2.
They're facing another points deduction, aren't they?
Yeah. Fuck, we've got to get rid of the Scouse Mackhams. Chelsea 2, Burnley 2. Wow, I didn't know that score happened. Nottingham Forest 1, Crystal Palace 1. Sheffield United 3, Fulham 3. Didn't know that score had happened. Tottenham 2, Luton 1. Aston Villa 2, Wolves 0, and Brentford 1, Man United 1, with a goal from Man United in the 96th minute and the equaliser from Brentford in the 99th. So everything went, hey, as soon as it got to extra times. Our local teams, we can have a bit of love for our local teams.
Yeah.
Costing me money now, Valar. I've got to take the bets off the table now.
Two in a fucking row.
Two in a row.
Funnily enough,
the owner, are you ready?
Go on.
Listened to the thousands of people around here that were going, you do know he's doing a crap job. All we need to do is move him out the way and we'll start winning again. And the owner, no, I'm standing by my decision. Right, she's got rid of him. In the last two games,
two in a row. Do you know what? I didn't see the scores for Vale, and then when I was checking Prem yesterday, I was like, oh, I'll check, you know, League One as well. And then I just went, oh, mm. And I'm looking at the two W's in the league, and I'm like, oh, we might stand a chance.
Very, like, very much stay up.
What have we got? Eight games left?
Eight games left. Now, the thing is about BBC at this moment in time, I've got no idea why it isn't showing me the Port Vale scores on anywhere of the BBC. But anyway, I've got the table up. Port Vale are still in the in a relegation yeah. dogfight. They've got a game in hand, so they're on 39 games. Burton above them on 40. They've got 39 points if they hadn't a loss. Oh, no, they won Burton. 39 points above them, 40, 42 and 45.
Yeah, it was Vale-Bristol on Friday.
Yeah, we've got... 2-0. Who have we got next, Vale? Port Vale 2, blah, blah, blah. Burton, we won.
We've got Northampton
and Wigan.
Right.
So we're in Northampton 11th and Wigan are 12th. So, yeah, two hard games next.
Yeah.
Problem is with Vale, if they get scored upon early, they've got poor mentality.
Mm.
So when they get scored, against early, they kind of go, where's John Rudge when we need him? How did Stoke get on yesterday?
They won by the looks of it. Let me just see. Stoke.
I do care, Stoke fans.
Oh, for fuck's sake, it's bloody...
Stoke are now 17th on 39 points. And they must have won yesterday. No, they play Monday.
No, not Champions League, Championship.
They play
Jesus
Monday
Christ.
Against Huddersfield.
2-0 against Hull on Friday.
Yes.
Yeah, there was only Prem games yesterday, weren't there?
Oh, yeah, it was all Friday.
Yeah, it was all Friday.
Yeah, because it's Easter Friday. Yeah. And then the Championship will play again on Monday.
Did you see the ridiculous fucking game in Belgium?
No.
That happened this week. So, right, you got two teams in the Belgium, whatever the fucking hell that league is, right? One of them needs 1 point to avoid relegation. It's end of the season. One of them needs 1 point to avoid relegation, and the other team needs 1 point to go into the Championship...
Playoff.
I think it's for a place in the Champions League, the playoff, like. So, one team was winning, 1-0. And go into the second half, and the other team scores, and it's 1-1, and then for 20 minutes, they just fucking pass the ball around and start you playing tippy-tappy football, and then one of the guys started doing some kind of fitness routine in the middle of the pitch, and then the opposing teams started, like, kind of shaking hands and having a fucking laugh with each other.
Right, okay.
Because they all realised that...
We both need a draw.
Yeah, we just need a draw. So... Let's just stop playing. Come on, guys. Don't make it fucking obvious. At least have a go.
Oh, was it really obvious?
Yeah, it was really obvious to the point where all 22 players have been fined. The captains have had match bans.
Yeah.
The coaches have had match bans.
Match fixing.
Yeah, the coaches have had match bans. And then one of the teams have fired the coach as well.
Yeah, it's match fixing.
Yeah. And it was just, but it was like, it wasn't even, there was no effort being made to make it look like they weren't.
I've seen it done on a Sunday. I've not seen it done outside of a Sunday.
Yeah, Belgium. It's
those chocolate eating bastards.
Crazy. It happened in, was it World Cup? Was it 82?
Yeah.
West Germany.
It's two managers, that is.
West Germany, Austria. No, was it West Germany, Austria?
It might have been, but all that is two managers. Hooking up and going, we both don't need anything here.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute, let's talk to all the players. We both don't need anything here.
Yeah.
Don't be stupid. And you always get that one knobhead in the 90th minute who tries to score a goal. That's normally me as a defender. Yeah. Like, let's go. I'm fucking bored now.
Fuck this.
No one's fucking attacking. I don't got to do any defending. This is boring. I'm going to go score a goal. I'm going on an adventure.
Yeah. Because wasn't that 82? Like, England were out and we didn't lose a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got some knowledge, just a little bit. Like.
How have you got knowledge on 82?
Oh, well, I'll read.
Were you born in 83?
84.
84?
Rabbit hole, isn't it?
Oh,
sometimes,
brilliant.
Like,
you've got great knowledge of football before you were on it.
Sometimes I just read and it's like, oh, then it stays in my head. I can't tell you anything from like Euro 96 and I fucking watch that.
I discovered alcohol in Euro 96.
Mate, 96, I would have been in year 8 at school.
I remember versus the Netherlands, the Nether regions, that, where was it? Shearer banged in.
Yeah.
We were at 4-1 up. I think it was 4-1 or 4-0.
Yeah.
She-Ra got three.
I remember we had an afternoon game at Euro 96. I think it was Euro 96 we had an afternoon game. It might have been France 96. No, it would have been Euro 96. Right. We had an afternoon game and the whole of the school were like, we're not coming to school today because we're going to go watch England. To the point where the school went, you are coming to school and you can watch it here. If it meant all the kids were in school, they were like, you can just watch it here. So they moved, you know, the TVs were on fucking trolleys, like, wheeled the TVs into classrooms. And then, like, classrooms had to merge because there was only so many TVs. But they had a massive projector and big screen in the hall. So, like, loads of people went into the hall and watched it on that big screen.
Do you know, on the last World Cup or Euros, whichever, my kids' school weren't showing it. And I said to the headmistress, I said, no problem, but they're not going to be in then.
Yeah.
And they were like, she went, well, that's not really nice. I've said, no, the country's playing a national, our national sport.
Yeah.
It's our national sport. I appreciate you're female-ish. and you don't like football. And you've been left behind at some point for a football match. And it really upset you and everything else. But it's our national sport.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep your kids off.
I think...
and we're all going to go to the pub.
In situations like that, if England have got an afternoon game and the kids are in school, it should just be an instant, like...
Bring the kids together.
Yeah, it should be an instant. Right, we're going to put the game on at school. It's going to be on in classrooms, it's going to be on in the hall. For any kids that aren't bothered and don't want to watch it, other activities will be available.
That's the problem. They go, do you know some kids don't want to watch the football?
Yeah.
And you go, well, so...
And see, that's what it was when...
Well, let them go outside and do the hula hoop for 90 minutes.
That's what it was when I was at school. Well, some kids don't want to watch football. And the reply was literally, so?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
There's a load of kids here that don't want to do the fucking work either, but they come every day, you know what I mean?
None of us won't come to school, but we have weir, aren't we?
It's like... But and the answer was like, so? They can sit at the back of the fucking room then, can't they? Like, you know
well,
what
if
mean?
You don't want to take part in what we're doing together... You can go and make a macaroni carrier thingy.
Yeah.
Over there. Go play.
But yeah, I mean, just like put another activity on. Like in you know, if you've got a sports hall or something like just, you know, there's going to be some teachers that also don't want to watch the football.
Or they can go play with the kids that don't want to watch the football.
Take them
into
the sports hall and do some activities with them, like. Or, you know, revision sessions, whatever the fucking kid wants to do.
Here's how you quickly solve that problem. Teachers, children. Don't you want to watch the football? No. Fantastic. Can you please take the children for Bible studies?
Yeah.
What? I won't watch the... No.
Nope. You said it now.
Bible studies. And you, teacher, you said you didn't like football neither. You can go recite it to them. Ave Maria, go away. And I'm just getting... And that's just how I think the world should operate. If you don't want to do something, that's fine. You don't have to do it. But all these people... They all want to do it, and it's not fair.
Because at least 90%, and even the kids that aren't really that into football,
you don't spend it with the mates.
They're gonna go. I'm not doing any fucking work. I'm gonna watch the football.
Exactly.
Unless school's changed that much since I was there, that kids are like, no, I want to do my science.
No, they haven't. I said to my kids, "Isn't the school putting on football?" And they went, "No." And as you drop the kids off, the head teacher's on the yard. I said, "Haven't you got the England match on tomorrow for them?" And she went, "No." I said, "But bollocks, bugger." She was like, "Why, what's up?" I said, "I'm going to have to keep them off school."
Yeah.
"What?" I said, "Well..."
Yeah.
You're either A, B or C. You're either A or B. If you're A and you want all your children to take part in things together and you want an all-inclusive community and you want everybody working together, all aspiring to one goal, one vision... Then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to cater for all of these people all at the same time, not put everyone in a dicing compartment. How about you do this? We've got football on today. Shut up. I just like that approach to children for the next... Just England, if you could do that approach to children and stuff for the next year, all this mess would be sorted out by then. It would be.
Yeah, just fucking tell them. Tell them. They're the kids. Tell them what they're doing.
Tell
the kids. This is what you're doing. I don't want to do that.
Tough. I didn't ask. No one gives a fuck until you're... I do this. This is the one thing that winds me up about any parents and any parenting, just as we go off tip. Do you want to do this? What? Someone said that to my young and I went, can you not do that, please? And they were like, what do you mean? I said, can you not? I appreciate we should be free thought and free giving. But for things like tea, dinner, breakfast, not, what do you fancy having? Fucking chocolate.
Yeah.
Pig's dick and lettuce.
Yeah, pig's dick and lettuce.
I've said to Mike, my missus was doing this with the kids. So what I've taught the kids to do is ask for two random different meals.
Yeah, one each.
Like, said to me, son, if she ever asks, you want poached egg on toast. So, Bo, if she ever asks you, you want lamb taters and this, that and the other. I've said, and just make it two massively different things. I've said, but if she says, what do you want, Ethan, Bo, think of the most beautiful food you can have and ask for it.
Yeah. What do you fancy with tea? Do you know what?
Quail egg.
Yeah, quail eggs. And, do you know what? Like a spaghetti carbonara.
Yeah. And watch your mum go, you can have this.
Yeah.
You go, like,
I approach it, I give them options. So I'm like, you can have this or this. This is what we're having, it's this or this.
Yeah.
And I always make it so if one of them goes, well, I want A and the other wants B, that it's basically the same meal.
Yeah.
Just a slight variance.
You can either have chicken nuggets and chips or chips and chicken nuggets.
So... it's like, but it's something that if it does end up being two separate meals, it's two things that cook at exactly the same time,
yeah,
at exactly the same gas mark,
yeah,
in exactly the same fucking pan. It's like, you know, I can do them at the same time and it's, yeah, not a ball. Like, you're not creating, like, when there's four of you and like, well, I want a full English breakfast, well, I want a roast dinner, I want lasagna, and I want a nice chicken Caesar salad. No.
Yeah, but
that is not fucking happening.
Yeah, but yeah, it stops it dead, doesn't, yeah, it? It, yeah, completely kills it
dead.
That
is not happening, right? If you want, like, you want a full English breakfast, so these are your options. You can have a full English, or you can have bacon cheese oatcakes.
Yeah, you can do both, yeah.
Because you can do both at the same, yeah, time, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, my lad likes to have, like, plain pasta. Instead of, you know, if you have taters or jacket or chips or something like that, he likes to have pasta as well. Is that, like, carb option, you know what I mean? So if he wants, like, some breaded chicken, some vegetables and a bit of pasta, then I know I can do, like, a vegetable bolognese.
Yeah, you can...
To go, because I'm cooking the vegetables, I'm cooking the pasta.
Yeah.
The chicken goes in the oven. I only need one other pan to do the sauce. Mm. So it's meals that can be done at the same time that don't create problems. So, you know, I don't mind giving options, but make it fucking easy for yourself. You know what I mean? Who wants lasagna and who wants roast chicken?
Yeah. You,
no.
So the way I look at it is, with the kiddies, asking them what they would like is a bit like an adult going onto Netflix and choosing a movie.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah, it's impossible, isn't it?
Flick.
It's impossible to pick a movie on Netflix. Yeah. I can pick one on Prime. I can get one on Disney. With Netflix,
Just constant flick. Speaking of streaming services, I tell you what I have found. I can always pick a film.
Go on.
MGM. I've signed up to MGM.
No.
I did it on a free trial, right?
Have they got a thingy?
I don't know if they've got I do it through Prime.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it's a channel on Prime. I don't know if they've got their own app.
No, but, we just can't get in this country.
I do it through Prime. So I really wanted to watch RoboCop and... I did. I really wanted to watch RoboCop and I've only got it on video. And I was sat downstairs, my video player's upstairs, and yeah, I'm like, I can't be arsed, get the video and go upstairs and watch it. Like, what's it streaming on? Fucking MGM. I don't get MGM. So, like, go on Prime. Oh, 7-day free trial. Fucking job's a winner. All right. Sign up to the free trial. Watch RoboCop. Dickhead over here doesn't cancel the subscription after the free trial, but... I started flicking through what was on there, and I'm like, it's every fucking classic from when I was a kid.
Yeah,
it's
it says. I'm looking everything. At it now.
RoboCop, RoboCop 2, American Ninja, Cyborg, you know what I mean?
Ben-Hur.
Yeah, all of them are on there. It's
Legally Blonde, Hobbit, Ben-Hur, Full Wedding, Dinner, Funeral. One of the best horror movies, Silence of the Lambs. Silence of the Lambs.
Hoodlum. You remember Hoodlum with Lawrence Fishburne?
Yeah.
That's on there.
Wow.
Like, fuck me. There's fucking loads of good stuff on there. It's, obviously, it's all old films.
What's the worst thing that can happen?
It's shit if you want new films.
But Thelma and Louise is on there.
If you want old films, if you want...
Child's Play.
If you want a nostalgia fest, MGM's the one for you, man. It's fucking ace.
Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Chitty Bang Bang, Skyfall, Spectre, Hearts War, Barbershop. Do you know what I've been looking for?
Fuck is he, Barbershop was on
Friday
there.
2, The Terminator, Biodome, Quantum
Jesus
of
Christ.
Solace, God, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, that weird film with Kevin Spacey in where he limps around a bunch. Usual Suspects. Overboard, classic. I used to love that movie.
Oh, with Goldie Hawn?
Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell.
Bird on a Wire must be on there.
Oh, it must be on here. You've got all the Rockies on here, mate. All the Rockies and all the Creeds. Yeah, you've got all the Rockies and all the Creeds.
Most popular movies on MGM, I've got the list up here. Bill and Ted, Bogus Journey, that was an MGM. Escape from LA, Usual Suspects, Terminator, Fargo's on there. Bloody hell, Walking Tall with The Rock. Remember that? It was years
God,
ago.
It's got some Bond movies on here.
Yeah, well, they were all MGM, weren't they? Spaceballs. Mannequin. Fuck me. Three Amigos. That's on there.
Oh, I've got to get it now. Mannequin's on there.
Double Impact. Toy Soldiers. You remember Toy Soldiers?
God, with Teen Wolf.
Oh, amazing.
Teen Wolf's on there.
Amazing. Yeah, Cyborg, I've already mentioned that one. Woman in Red. Yeah, there's fucking loads of stuff on here. So, yeah, I'm definitely keeping it for a month.
Loch Ness with Ted Danson. Remember that manga?
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. I'm gonna have a proper nostalgia fest with these movies.
Some like it hot.
It's going to be ace. It's going to be
Ansel and Greta, the Witch Hunters. That's an underrated movie, that is, you know.
Life Force, 1985.
A Fish Called Wanda, Man in the Iron Mask, Platoon. Charlie Webbitt, Counting Cards, Rain Man.
The rest of this podcast, by the way, is me and Cleon just reeling
G.I.
off the names
Joe,
of films.
G.I. Joe, Death at a Funeral.
That's all it is.
RoboCop 2's on there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get on that.
Yeah, just fucking...
I'm going to get on that just for Child's Play and RoboCop.
Kiss the Girls.
Mm-hmm.
With Morgan Freeman and Ashley Judd. Yeah, Ashley Judd. I think it was Ashley Judd, wasn't it?
Was that one of them? That was one of the murder books, wasn't it?
Yeah, one of the...
I can't remember her name. Something that she did a web as well, a web one.
Along Came a Spider.
Yeah.
I used to have a load of his. What's the James Patterson?
James Patterson.
Yeah.
That's
I used to have a load of his novels. But I think I gave him a charity shop.
Morgan Freeman did a few films, didn't he? For all of them. Yeah.
So Along Came a Spider was the first book, but Kiss the Girls was the first film, and then they made Along Came a Spider after. So. It was like a sequel in movie world, but it was a prequel in the books. But yeah, it's good films. Them ones, good films.
Why are you down in London?
Hey,
go watch Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I've not actually had a look. See if there's a cinema nearby. I'll be honest with you.
You're in London. There is a cinema.
I know,
nearby.
But I don't want to venture too far away.
Where are you?
Greenwich.
Yeah, there's a cinema in Greenwich. I think you've got an Everyman's in there.
I have located the two nearest record stores to my hotel, which is like...
To be next door to the Everyman's cinema.
The one of the record
is
stores...
Is it Anyman's or Everyman's?
I'll have a Google. One of the record stores, I actually know of it because it's renowned for having like really rare records. And I've watched a few like... vinyl community YouTube channels where they've gone to that store just to look at these grails, like, and as they've gone in, they're like, "Oh, there's a Linda Hoyle on Vertigo," and I'm like, "Sold that." Like, "Oh, Pato on Vertigo," sold that. And it's like all these rare records, like Stud, yep, sold that, because they've all come through the shop at some point. This Linda Hoyle album, right? It's meant to be the rarest. Album that was released on Vertigo in the 70s.
And everyone's got one.
A lot of people, like, they like to collect what they call Vertigo Swirl, and it was the label on the record was the black and white Swirl logo of Vertigo. And they're like the earliest pressings of these albums. So, like, you know, Black Sabbath, first album, and Paranoid were on, like, Vertigo Swirl. Status Quo albums, when they signed with Vertigo, the early ones, they were on Vertigo Swirl. But they're, like, cheap as fuck. There's a Rod Stewart album that's on a Vertigo Swirl, which is a bit more expensive, but nothing, like, out of range. But this Linda Hoyle one, it's said to be the rarest, like, Vertigo Swirl album, and we had it in the shop for like 6 years or something, because it's literally valued at like £1,000. It's shit, honestly. It's fucking awful. It's dreadful. Like, and that's the reason. The problem with a lot of these rare albums that are worth a lot of money is they were shit, and that's why there's none about.
Yeah,
because like, nobody fucking bought them.
No one wants to buy the damn thing. Yeah,
yeah. So you know, we shifted ours. We had to drop the price a bit, and then we did it on a trade. So a guy brought in like a stack of albums, and then put like cash to it as well. And we dropped the price a bit. Well, we got rid of it eventually. But you know, the problem is a lot of people aren't willing to drop the price on it because it's like, it's the rarest Vertigo Swirl. If you want it, you'll pay for it.
It's like, well, you can keep it then.
Yeah. Whereas we were like, you know, because they already had it in the shop when I started, and I was like, can we just drop the price on it? You've had it for that long. Nobody's buying it. It's only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. So let's drop the price. So we did. We dropped the price. And then somebody came in and offered us X amount for it. And we were like, oh, it's already a bargain. Like, it's the cheapest you're going to find it, especially for the condition it's in. And he was like, fair. And he was like, I tell you what, if I give you all these plus like £450, would you do that? And we went through the records and it was like, yeah, all right, Sam, we can do that, that's fine. So you know, we made,
he had three George Michael holders in that collection.
We made a nice bit of cash on it, on the records, like, so it made up for it. It was no mither. But you know, they've got all these records in this shop in Greenwich, and it's like, I've played and listened to all of them, and for me as a record like buyer and a lover of music, to get these old records and to be able to clean them and listen to them, and it's like, I think it's fucking lovely. Like, you know, some of them are shite, you know what I mean? We've got one at the moment by a band called Whistler, and it's valued at about £300. And
Blade.
What?
Blade.
What?
Whistler.
Oh, yeah. Blade.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just went, why would you call your name Whistler?
Yeah, band it's from the late 60s. The album's called Ho Hum, and it's fucking terrible. Like, but it's sought after. People want it because it's rare. It's so rare, and it's valued at about £300. And as much as I don't like the album, it's nice to be able to like hold it and look at it and go, oh, this is, you know, this is a rare record. Like, people want this. It's rare, and I've got the opportunity to hold it and listen to it. The David Bowie Space Oddity promo 7-inch that we had in, you know what I mean? I listened to that a couple of times. It sounded fucking amazing. It was fresh off the press. It was a promo copy for radio play, so it's going to sound amazing. It's the best version of Space Oddity that I've ever heard. Just the way it was mastered and pressed for that 7-inch, listening to it, it was like, I've never heard it as good as this. This is amazing. And you know, we sold it for £400. £400 for a fucking 7-inch. People are mental. Like, why do people pay that much money for this stuff?
Because you put it on eBay and got double.
It's like, you know,
put it straight on Vinted and sold it to the Japanese.
Mate. But it is cool. So it'd be nice to go to that shop and see some of these records. But in some of the videos, like I've seen, they've got a really good metal collection. And they've got some old thrash stuff, which I've had my eyes on for years. And I got paid this week.
I've always wanted to go Abbey Road.
Hmm.
And do you know how many times I've been to London? I've been to London. I used to work there Tuesday to Bloody Friday. Yeah. And I just never went. I went all the other places. I just never did any of the musical ones. Do Abbey Road. I don't want to do it for the top for photo and all that type of jazz.
When I've been London, I've never done like the sights. I've never done like Big Ben and
oh no, I did.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
I've never done all that. Like, you know, I've never seen Big Ben. I've never been to the palace. You know, I've never done all that. I went to the British Museum to look at a fucking spoon. And yeah, I went to the British Museum. But then all I did was like, right, record stores. I want to go look for some fucking record stores. And that's what I did. Around all these pissing record stores, like down in Soho and whatnot. Because that's what I like. You know what I mean?
I did all the... When I first did London, I went round and did... When I was working in London for a company. And I was like, rawr, I'm working in a nice big posh office in London and staying in a big posh hotel. This is amazing. Yeah. So what am I going to do every night? I don't know. So what I did, I just... Big Ben.
Yeah.
Are you? Parliament. Oh, look at that.
I'm by the big boat. You know the big boat?
Yeah.
Cut your sock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm by the big boat. That's where I'm going to be.
Saw one of the guys from The Usual Suspects shooting a movie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Gabriel... Whatever his name, Byrne, I think it might be.
Gabriel Burns. Yeah.
Gabriel Burns. Saw him in London, high-fived him.
Yeah.
He was not happy about being high-fived.
Ooh, germaphobe.
No, mid-scene.
Ah, no, it's not ideal, clearly.
Yeah. Do you know something, Dave? Actors are really aggressive about when they're in scene.
Mm. When they're in character.
I was like, high-five?
High-five?
And you went, you might as well have gone, fuck off. For the effort he put in with these two fingers that actually went like that. He was in, at the time, he was in Usual Suspects in that Arnie Schwarzenegger film with the devil in. He was the devil.
End of Days.
End of Days.
Yeah. Fucking brilliant film.
And I loved it. Jesus. It had not long been out when we were in London.
I forgot about that.
When we were in London.
Oof. That film's ace.
And because you've watched that film quite a few times, because it had just been released on, at the time, we were renting out DVDs via mail. Can you remember that time?
Yes.
When you used to rent a DVD, it used to arrive...
Arrive through the post.
Through the post, watch it, send it back.
Killed the video stores.
Killed all the video stores.
That was Love Film.
Love Film, that was it.
You know what Love Film is now?
Netflix.
Amazon Prime.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bought it.
Yeah. But Amazon bought Love Film, carried on running it as Love Film, and then eventually turned it into Prime. Because Netflix used to be DVD rental as well. So Netflix was a DVD rental service, and then they went into streaming. But yeah, Love Film ended up getting bought by Amazon, and then they carried on doing the DVD rental thing, and then eventually turned it into a streaming service, and then that became Amazon Video, which became Prime Video.
Bloody hell.
Yeah,
so we not long rented the movie off, loved the movie, thought it was really good, and then obviously turning a corner in London, and he's shooting a scene. It's like, hey, it's the devil!
Fucking hellfire.
I think that's what he thought. You could see in his eyes, he was like, fuck. But if you're an actor and you're in movies and you've just released a movie and then you're in a city shooting a new movie, maybe you should be a bit happy that you've got people who are going, oh, you're brilliant in that movie.
I mean, if he was mid-scene...
Oh, shut up.
I've just spotted there's a jazz bar a 7-minute walk away from my hotel.
It's not a jazz. It's not pronounced jazz. Do you know that? Jazz bar.
Yeah, there's a jazz bar. That might be me every night. I really hope like this.
Shut up, because I'm doing this to myself right now. You don't need to go to London. You don't need to go to London, because I'm off all week.
Are you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come down, man.
I don't.
You know,
Jody will be listening to this in the morning. And she'll be going, "You're not going to London."
Yeah, do it. I hope it's like an old school jazz bar where they've, you know, they avoided the smoking ban, that kind of thing. You have to go underground, like to
underground,
and it's dark.
And there's a guy playing a flute.
There's loads of smoke. There's jazz flute in full going on that stage, like
not like unhappy jazz flute, like. Hey, Aqualung!
Yeah.
Guy walking across the tables, full on Anchorman.
Yeah, we want jazz flute, smoky, and I want some, like, really nice scotch. just rock up to the college the next morning slightly hungover. Where were you last night, Dave? I was drinking scotch in a jazz bar, and I'm going to do the same thing tonight.
Come back, Dave will be 6 stone lighter and a raging alcoholic.
Yeah.
And smoking 60 a day.
It's going to be ace. Cigars 60 cigars a day. Anyway, shall we wrap up?
Yes.
It's Easter.
You've got to get ready for your trip to the Big Smoke.
Oh, mate, I'm fucking dreading it. I've got shitloads to do. Right, I can't put it off. I need to get it done.
In 30 minutes, it's Arsenal versus Man City.
Yes. Is it on Sky?
Yeah.
Sound, I'll watch that. I'll get that on in the background as I'm...
I'm going to do nothing for 90 minutes and watch it.
Cool. Right. Well, big thank you to everybody that listens week in and week out. You guys are amazing. Don't forget, whatever platform you listen to us on, hit that like, follow, subscribe button, whatever it is. It would mean the world to us. Just to know that you're always there. Just for us. Yes. Follow us on social media. Although, I haven't really been updating it as of late. But I'll try to get back on that. On Twitter, it's ShinglesListPC. You can follow me, Shingles_List. Follow Cleon K. Bewley. His old account is still there, but he doesn't use it, so don't follow him on that one. It's pointless. Cleon K. Bewley. And on Instagram, Shingles_List and KLBewley5. Same on Threads, Shingles Podcast on Facebook. You guys are awesome, and we will see you next time.